Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Hey, it's Fran from Chicks in the Office. It's peak summer. One plan is turning into five, but trust, I'll be wearing Abercrombie to all of them. Catch me in their Sloan tailored pan at work and then the happy hour right after. The Dylan dress for dinner plans when you want something easy but still put together. And of course, their denim. Because Abercrombie denim just works, no matter the plan. Keep up with the pace of summer without overthinking it. Shop in the app, online, and in stores.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
Is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again! Say what again! I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
You cannot pass!
Rhodes? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 52. Jeff Lowe, alongside Trill Ballins, Ken Jack. Another week. I don't really know where to take this. That's all I got.
It has been another week.
It is a week. Physically,
right, it is a week.
Classic episode here. We got news and then some listener questions. We keep saying we're going to do old movie reviews, but we'll get to that eventually. Going to figure out how we're going to do that. And, you know, Papa Trill is just adjusting to the dad life. So for now, you get these. We got some great questions today, though. You guys saw them beforehand, and I think they're pretty good.
We got some great news, too, Jeff. Don't undersell the news.
Solid news.
Sonic. Sonic's in the news.
Yeah, yeah. That's the last thing we're going to get to in news. Let's start off with Slender Man. Slender Man may move to Netflix because it doesn't really have a distributor yet. I guess it lost its distributor. Amazon, Netflix. We're going to review Slender Man. Does it get you more excited for this complete pile of trash if it's on a streaming service?
In the sense that I don't have to pay money to go see it. Yes, absolutely. Because we're going to review it. That's just $14 more in my pocket, Jeff.
Yeah, exactly. I think it definitely makes it, gives it like a way more of an appeal than it was to have to go, if you had to go see it in theaters and pay, at least for me and Jeff, like $18 to go see it.
I want to say it's like sure mark that it's not good that they lost their distributor, but
what, Paddington?
I'm pretty sure that, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure that's what happened to Paddington too. So I can't knock it against that, but I'm not, Slender Man's obviously not a good movie, guys. Can't match up to Paddington 2.
I don't think that's a hot take. I think Slender Man's definitely going to suck ass.
Yeah, I just expect it to be terrible. I think it's a fucking ridiculous idea that they're making a movie out of this, which is literally like a tragedy, like a real thing. But they're going to make it. It's not like it's a biopic. Like, it's just,
is the Slender Man biopic chronicling his upbringing from a young slender boy to a slender teen? Slender Man.
Whole thing slender is just fucked up. Oof. Yeah, we're going to review that. Also, this ties into the fact that we're going to review Rideshare, the movie, this week. People have been like, why aren't you going to review Upgrade? Why aren't you going to review Upgrade? Well, Kenjack and I saw Upgrade. We loved it. Both gave it 88s. Listeners gave it an 89 out of 100 so far. It's not out where Trill is. So, you know, we got to be fair here.
We'll do Court of Trill.
Yeah, we can do Court of Trill.
Yeah.
Though, we both gave it an 88. I don't really know. It's hard to do Court of Trill when we both like the movie.
But that's the fun of it, is even when an 88, we still point out negatives of the movie. Right. So
We'll flip a coin on like Instagram story in the office, and then one, whoever loses has to try to convince Joel not to see it. All right, well, so we'll add Upgrade to the week podcast. We're also going to be doing favorite song from a movie. So not theme necessarily, but like song that was made for a movie. We kind of did this before, but we kind of didn't do it right because we picked some Bond songs, but really we were doing themes, so you should have picked the Bond theme. So we'll open this up this week, and it'll be a fun vibe. I like when we get to splice in music. That's always a good time. It's good for the ears.
It's fun for you editing.
It's a blast. I've made editing really easy, so I wanted a little curveball here. Next piece of news, Men in Black spinoff. We haven't talked too much about this one. We talked about the initial news. Chris Hemsworth and blanking on the name, Thor Ragnarok, Valkyrie, Tessa Thompson. That's right. She's in it with Chris Hemsworth. So it's a Thor movie, basically. But Kumail Nanjiani is going to be playing potentially an alien sidekick who is very sex driven. Whatever the fuck that means. But really, do you like alien? Do you like Kumail? Alien? Yeah. Do you like Kumail as like a horny alien, like comedic role in Men in Black, like a spinoff?
What other horny aliens have there been in cinematic history? Can we think of any?
I feel like Tony Shalhoub's was pretty horny in Men in Black 1.
Yeah. Also, well, are the aliens Transformers? Because they were all horny, all of them.
Yeah, they're technically aliens. I like Kumail. I'm excited to see him in this. I don't know if I love the whole horny alien type character, but let's see where he takes it.
Yeah, I think if he did it, if it's not like a, you know, overtly horny type alien, if it's like a subtle horny alien, like his role in Silicon Valley, I'd like that type of horny alien from Kumail.
Just, you're going to change the name of the movie to Men in Black, Horny Aliens.
Horny Aliens.
I just don't know what to expect or what I want from this movie. I don't think I have a want from this movie. Like, just another Men in Black movie doesn't interest me. Like, they got to find a way to put a little twist in it. I don't know how they'll do it, but, like, it can't just be another Men in Black movie with two different people.
If it's not the 21-22 Jump Street Men in Black concept, I'm automatically disappointed in it. So yep. we're starting from a negative place for me, but it could be good. But you're right. It's, you know, Men in Black 3 was such trash.
So bad.
It's going to be a long road to come back from that one, fellas.
Yeah, that was just not ideal.
Even with a horny alien.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of centerpiece of this movie. It may not be enough.
One of Josh Brolin's last, like, not good movies. Because now he's just cranking out gems.
Jonah Hex, was that after or before Men in Black 3?
Ooh, maybe. Hang on. That might have been after. Jonah Hex, Googling right now. 2003. No, it was before.
Okay, cool.
Came out. Oh, I searched Men in Black. That's not the right search. Men in Black 3 came out in 2012. Actually, there was a Pitbull song in that movie. We're going to have a Pitbull question later on.
Yeah, it was Back in Time. Isn't that the name of the song?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't Will Smith do a song for that movie? He'd already given up rapping, singing at that point.
He's definitely on the downswing of like the rap songs.
Well, he had a lead track come out this past week or week and a half. Did you hear that? It's pretty good.
He's supposed to sing, I think, still.
Oh, he's one of the original MCs.
Well, what his album after whatever the Get Jiggy With It one? Did you? I'm sure that you watched this video too. It's like fucking
Millennium.
Was that the one after his second album?
I don't remember. I just know Big Willie Style and Willennium.
God, he really just like throwing his name in those.
The lyrics from Back in Time are fucking hilarious. I'm gonna read a couple here. It's Mr. Worldwide, Agent A, reporting live from Cape Canaveral, MK. And then you got, this is the best part. This is where he works in Men in Black. Miami equals black mask, black clothes. With a little bit of rope to tie, I flipped it. Black suits, white shirts, black glasses with a matching tie. Like Agent J or Agent K. And I wish the whole world would. Okay, I'm trying to make a billion out of 15 cents. Understood.
What?
That doesn't even make, oh,
what is
those
Miami?
Are just words. Those are just, yeah. He just threw Miami in there.
But when Pitbull says it, it's different. It transforms it into something that sounds good. I like Pitbull. So you can say whatever.
He was on Gmail a few times, and he's one of the sweatiest person I've ever seen in my life. He always looks like he's about to just pass out after performance. But also, the first time I met him, he was on to promote something. Oh, no, he was on to perform. It was like around Christmas time, and we had a Santa Claus in studio, and he took a Snapchat or Instagram in Snapchat story back then. There wasn't Instagram stories. And he pointed to himself, said, I'm Mr. Worldwide, but I'm with the real Mr. Worldwide, Santa Claus. It's like, oh my God, that's a dedication to a bit unlike any other.
when he got like his results for his poll spiked on where to do his performance by John Hendren and had to perform in like fucking Alaska, that was the funniest fucking thing ever.
Yeah, but he still went.
Yeah, he fucking did it.
It's dedicated.
Awesome. Didn't that happen for Justin Bieber and it got like Iraq or Iran or something like that?
I think so. And they were like, no, that's not even happening. It has to be continental US.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
So there's Men in Black. Wonder Woman 2 news. cool Wonder Woman like logo release. It says WW 84 or 1984. It's not a Taylor Swift album, but apparently it's going to be set in the 1980s and it's going to have a real 1980s vibe to it. I like that. That's pretty cool. Trill Ballins, the TVT, Triple Vodka Trill. What do you think about that?
I like that too, Jeff. I'm a big 1984 guy. It was the year I was born, so I'm excited to see this. I like these 80s movies. We're big on nostalgia in this podcast. It's a sucker punch right to my gut. It gets me every time. I'm excited for it.
What do you think she's going to do in the 80s? Like beat the shit out of Mike Dukakis? What's going to be the reference there?
Was that Ross Perot era, or that was the 90s? Never mind.
Yeah, that was more early 90s.
She's going to fight Max Headroom.
Well, that gives me a lot of hope for the Cheetah character from Kristen Wiig. I think like an 80s twist on it makes that less corny. Yeah. And it fits with the era. So that actually excites me. Like I have some more excitement for this movie. I mean, I was looking forward to it already. I enjoyed Wonder Woman, but I think that part has always worried me a little bit because I do like Kristen Wiig, but I mean, is that going to be forced? But I think fitting in the era of the 80s, pretty cool.
Well, let's talk about that. So it's like when you think of a Cheetah character, do you think of like Thundercats? Is that why? Because I immediately think of Thundercats. Do you guys remember Thundercats?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think of something that's like, yeah, very 80s. Like I think of like a spandex type suit or like Catwoman type suit, I guess. Maybe that fit in with the decade. I don't know.
She's funny though, and like DC is so dark. Like I just don't see how she fits into this equation at all.
Well, maybe it's
she may not be playing. Maybe she's not playing a funny character.
But that's what she's good at. Then it's just not going to be good. That's so stupid.
And apparently the Penguin is going to be in the Batman or Birds of Prey. Is that the name of the movie? I think I'm close there. Apparently the Penguin's going to be in it. You can't be dark with the Penguin. The Penguin's too fucking weird. So I mean, they're going to have to heel turn at some point.
I'd love to see them make the Penguin dark.
Is the Penguin the nerdiest villain?
Like no, just the Riddler.
No, but not in terms of okay, let me go back. Is the Penguin
think that's like the worst type of villain?
Is the Penguin the worst villain?
Yes.
Period.
He doesn't really have any villain powers, and he doesn't have like superhuman strength or speed. He's just
a genius, though, right?
I mean, is he? I played the Arkham Asylum games, and the last one, Arkham Knight, he was trying to steal weapons, and all Batman had to do was beat up his henchmen and blow up the weapons in the vault. Didn't seem all that smart to me.
I don't know. I feel like he's supposed to be a lot smarter. I'm looking at some of the worst movie villains. There's a lot of worse ones. I can just tell you that. This conclusion of the villain.
Fan art for the Penguin. There's a couple rumored ideas that people want to play the Penguin, and the fan art for the Andy Serkis version looks exactly like the Penguin from the 1980s one, and there's no fucking way that'll be in DCEU. There's no way that like
the 1980s what?
Batman.
I mean you mean Batman Returns?
Yes. Okay. There's no way it looks like that Penguin. Not a chance.
That was a 91 or 92 movie.
It's going to be like fucking Toby Jones in a tuxedo, and that's going to be the only reference to the Penguin whatsoever. They're not going to talk about that.
It's just going to be Wario.
You want to hear another name? Another name tied to it?
I'm the Penguin. Here's my umbrella that shoots gas to knock you out. Batman, take that. That's the only superpower I have.
The fucking Kingsman gadget.
You want to hear another name?
Yes.
Yeah.
Match to the idea? You have any guesses?
Rodney Dangerfield. Let me tell you, it's Batman.
I'll give you two.
Keep
one
on
is
dropping
Nick Frost
down through this window into my lair and beating up my henchmen. I don't get no respect.
Nick Frost.
I saw Nick Frost.
Josh Gad.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
I think I'd like Toby Jones.
I'm a Gad lad right here. We're the Gad lads.
But you wouldn't want Toby there? This is like the role he's born to play.
I feel like Toby's too good for that role.
Well, yeah, I don't disagree. I'm just saying if you could pick one.
He's above it.
I feel like this would be perfect for Josh Gad because he could really take his career to the next level after playing a snowman.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck it. Let him do it.
And not being in Baywatch, even though he was in Baywatch, but he wasn't in Baywatch.
That's, I think, our best Schrodinger's actor thing. Wait, is that actually how it applies there? Okay, so it's not Schrodinger's actor. It's just a regular actor. Bernstein Bear actor theory.
Josh Gad was in Baywatch. Mark Wahlberg was in The Town.
The Town. Now I'm obsessed about this like Wario Batman villain penguin crossover. The Batcave.
All right, Sonic the Hedgehog. Next story. Last news story there is. First up, somebody was cast in the movie. James Marsden. Is it James Marsden? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah,
Marsden
from Westworld. He was cast in the movie. Other comedic actors are not in talks, but on a short list to be in the movie include Jack Black, Jason Segel, Owen Wilson, and Ed Helms, along with Paul Rudd, who apparently is no longer in the running, but he was in the short list to play Tom, the human character. So, yeah, I don't know how I feel about the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. And is that going to be the new thing where these video game movies have like human sidekicks and that's just what the movie is?
Because I think that lends an air of credibility to an otherwise all animated movie. You know what I'm trying to say? It's like, oh, it's like not completely a children's movie because it's kind of split between the real world and the Sonic world. So come see this movie.
Yeah,
I just don't get it.
I'm not really getting out what I'm trying to say, but I feel like the pixels type shit is what's going to happen.
Like that's what validates the movie is the fact that there's a human involved in it instead of it being like a fully cartoon movie.
I don't know if it validates. I feel like it doesn't. It just makes it maybe more palatable for like a wider audience rather than perceiving it as like an all animated movie. It's like, oh, you got some real comedic actors and you got Sonic the Hedgehog. It's kind of like the Pikachu detective one, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not fully animated, so it might be kind of a funny comedy. I'll go see it. I don't know.
Who's going to play Tails? Who's playing Tails is a real question.
I don't know. Apparently they've already cast Sonic, I think.
The voice actor?
Yeah, I forget. Forget who it is, but I feel like they already kissed. Ken Jack and I both incorrectly assumed Paul Rudd was going to play Sonic. And then somebody said Sonic was already cast. I don't know who it is. It's nobody famous, I believe. Nobody like crazy famous. So I don't know how I feel about this one. But it's going to be the first of, or the second of many, depending on if it comes out before or after Pikachu Detective.
Tails needs to be played by
Josh Gad.
No, I feel like it needs to be a female voice actor for Tails.
It should be female for both. They both have pretty, like, I don't know, high registered voices.
I mean, one would assume because of their size, but in most media in which I've seen Sonic, he has usually the deeper voice, and Tails has the higher voice. I don't know.
I'm going to incorrectly pronounce these names, but the 1996 science fiction film / thriller called Sonic the Hedgehog. Science fiction film / thriller. Really? Sonic was played by Masami Kikuchi, and then Tails was played by a woman, Ikiro Shina. So yeah, that there was a woman at one point.
See, I'm right.
For Tails.
I'm good. Yeah. I'm a good casting director.
Who's the Sonic villain? Robotnik? Who's going to play Robotnik, too?
Yeah. In the U.S. Eggman. Yeah, in the U.S. version, it's Robotnik. In the Japanese version, it's Eggman.
Eggman sucks. That's a terrible villain name.
Well, I mean, Robotnik's not really good either.
It sounds cool. It's Russian and robots combined, like the two more scary things on Earth.
Dr. Eggman looks like a cousin of Wario and Waluigi. 100%.
They're all in the same universe. Like him and Crash Bandicoot's villain, like, was it Neo Cortex? They're all like in the same expanded universe, all those weird old villains.
Yeah. All modeled after the same thing. All right, so that's news. Little news, though, just from us. Well, we already said we're going to do upgrade. We posted below in the description here how to rate movies from 2018. Need your ratings. People have been asking for our ratings list. Not coming out anytime in like the next couple weeks, but we're building something hopefully very, very cool. That's all I can say. So patience on this one will be worth it. Trust me. And then upcoming reviews. We have this posted on our Twitter and pinned next week. This week, Rideshare, which is on Amazon Prime. You can watch it online. It's not in theaters. And we'll do Court of Trill on Upgrade. The week after that, you got to see it by June 14th, Ocean's 8. Very pumped for that one. June 21st, Incredibles 2 and Tag. June 28th is Jurassic World. So that rounds out June. You can find the rest of them on our site. A bunch of others in there. Ant-Man, Skyscraper, Mission Impossible, Mamma Mia 2. Also Equalizer 2 that week. It's a double up.
So Mission Impossible doesn't come out till August?
On Mission Impossible, yeah, August 2nd. We'll be July, but August 2nd is when we're reviewing it.
Isn't that unbelievable how long it feels like we've been watching the trailers for this movie?
Yes. And I mean, I'm fucking amped for it.
I'm ready for it now, but how far? Yeah. We still have 2 more months or a little under 2 months until do we see this? Yeah. Like, how many more trailers? How many more times can we watch this trailer? I have seen it before almost every movie in the theater.
For like a year, it feels like.
But as long as I'm fine, as long as we get the Henry Cavill, like, winding fist up. Yeah, the fist cock, like cocking his fist back to fight. That's and like time to the music. Bump, bump. Like that's such a that's good editing. I feel like there should be a Academy Award for best trailer editing.
Oh, there, funny you mention.
Yeah, we're talking about trailers soon. It's funny, though, in our schedule through August 23rd, there are so many like number two movies. Incredibles 2. This is 4 weeks in a row. Incredibles 2, Jurassic World 2, Sicario 2, Ant-Man 2. And then we skip a week with Skyscraper, original movie. And then we have The Equalizer 2 and Mamma Mia 2. Skip a week and then a movie called Mile 22.
Well, technically it's Jurassic World 5. Or Jurassic franchise number 5.
But Jurassic World is a 2. So it's a little, you know, a little creative licensing here. And we're going to round out this slate of 12 movies with the Happy Time Murders, which won its lawsuit against Sesame Street, by the way. poor Sesame Street.
Good job.
Which that just opens up a lot, I feel like, to people using Sesame Street taglines and things and just completely fucking with them. Poor Sesame Street. Just trying.
Elmo disagreed with the court's ruling, but respects the judge's decision.
It's like fucking defending your life, except it's Elmo at the stand. It just looks so funny in my mind.
Oh my goodness! All right.
I'm excited for Mamma Mia too. I want to see how they do this. Are they going to do new songs? Are they going to do the second tier ABBA songs? Because I feel like all the ABBA songs I know and love were in the first Mamma Mia. The songs like Mamma Mia and Man After Midnight. Man After Midnight's probably my favorite ABBA song.
Wait, do that again? I missed it.
Dancing Queen as well.
Wait, no, dude, yeah. I missed that song. Sorry.
You didn't miss it. Give me a man after midnight. Dun, 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 dun. So are we just going to get second tier ABBA songs or are they going to do some repeats? Because I feel like they got to do Mamma Mia again. Imagine going to see Mamma Mia 2 and not having Mamma Mia in it.
Well, they do it in the trailer. I mean, they're doing it in the trailer. And obviously that movie, it's Lily James playing Meryl Streep's character back in time.
Maybe they can have the back in time Pitbull song. Yeah. Parallel thought.
Just in Greece playing Pitbull. Wherever they are. Okay.
Story, Jeff.
So that's news. Let's get into some listener questions. This one is actually not a listener question, but I threw it up there anyway because Black Panther won best trailer at an award show for trailers. What's the best recent trailer you've seen? Favorite trailer, let's just say out of the last, just this year, recent trailer. I mean, Mission Impossible is a really tough one for me not to pick. Mission Impossible trailer is both of them. Well, the Imagine Dragons one is truly superb.
Yeah. Fuck. And now that we said Mission Impossible, I feel like I can't pick anything else.
Didn't come out this year, but the Black Panther trailer also lost. I mean, I like the Avengers trailer, but Black Panther trailers were fucking sick.
Yeah, let me bring up some other trailers. The Golden trailers. I'm trying to see. So I like the Black Panther trailer, and I liked it because I like can remember specific scenes that were used in it, like the Forerunner chase, because that like whole panning around the spinning car thing was so badass. But as like a trailer as a whole, the Mission Impossible trailer uses sound so well, and that's why I got to go with that. But we also had other trailers, like Avengers Infinity War was a trailer. We like that, right? But
yeah, of course.
It's probably not the best trailer.
Yeah, I was going to say that might be more because of the hype than the actual like technical achievement of it. I think Atomic Blonde had a great trailer with like the stairway fight.
Yeah, it was good. That was a good one. Other ones, let's
Sherlock Gnomes.
Blade Runner.
Blade Runner, yeah. Sherlock Gnomes was a fucking classic. I like the Baby Driver trailer with Tequila. That was a pretty good one. All the Money in the World. I actually liked that once they changed out old Problematic Man. It had a pretty cool ending. And then other ones on here. Definitely not Peter Rabbit. I like the Tomb Raider trailer when they played the cover of Survivor. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Better than the movie. Yeah, I like that one. It was a good time. Good time was had. So yeah, Black Panther won best, I think, overall trailer. Best action trailer.
What are the criteria for winning best trailer, though? Is it just like mixing and sound editing and splicing in the video and misleading people?
I mean, it's just whatever makes you most excited for the movie.
Yeah, but I feel like to win best trailer, it has to be the best trailer on a bad movie. Like, so you have to take a bad movie and make it look good. And that to me is an impressive technical feat.
That's fair.
The funniest thing about like the Avengers even being nominated for best trailer is the fact that they completely lied to the audience in most of the trailer. Like a lot of the trailer scenes weren't even in the movie. Like it was a complete fucking lie. So that's pretty funny how that all shakes out.
What about the what about the Ferdinand trailer where John Cena was just fucking talking into the camera? Was that nominated?
His like Uncle Sam speech before the movie.
I don't think there's any worse trailers, but there is like a trashiest trailer category. Comedy TV spot, Ocean's 8 won. Disaster Artist should have won. Come on. I'm trying to look for worse. That's a lot of categories for fucking trailers. Best independent film TV spot for a feature film. That's a lot of... Wow, that's crazy. Just for a trailer. Best summer blockbuster TV spot for a feature film. Damn.
I just finished my second beer, guys.
Ooh, getting saucy.
This guy.
Yeah, I kind of feel lightheaded. I feel like I'm not making much sense. This is the first time I've had something to drink since my surgery, so it's kind of wild.
Respect your service. Yeah,
you should.
This next one is right at me, but I feel like we can all answer it. Why does Jeff love Midnight in Paris so much? That movie sucks ass? What? That movie sucks ass. Okay, that is a very unpopular opinion. I must note, we have a Twitter tweet that is still going around on our Twitter. We did the that unpopular thing where we have people quote tweet it with their unpopular opinions. A lot of unpopular opinions in there, but this one is very unpopular. I mean, you're talking about an Academy Award nominated movie. I know the person who made the movie is a complete pile of shit, but I really like Midnight in Paris. I don't know. I don't know about that one.
I think From Paris with Love is better. Remember that one?
No. What was that one?
It came out a year before that. John Travolta, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, end of list for the cast there. It's like a spy movie.
I wouldn't. Oh, he was like really bald in that one, right?
Yep, sure was.
That movie fucking ruled. I fucking love Midnight in Paris. 83% around Tomatoes for audience and 93 from some critics. I don't know, man. Whoever sent that in, I think you got to reevaluate. That was the first question Ants asked in our poll, so I feel like that was personal shot.
Are you sure they didn't mean the 1517 to Paris?
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's what they meant.
Maybe they did. I don't know, but I didn't like that one. That was so bad. That was a just not good movie.
Rough watch. Because Midnight in Paris would be the 23... No, it would be the 0-0-0, right? To Paris.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know my 24-hour time.
Yeah. All right, next question. I like this one. Big time question. What infomercial product would make a good movie? So I'll just read off a couple here. Let's just riff on if it'd be a good movie. Like what you could make out of it. This one, not thinking it's very good. Proactive, the acne company. Not sure you'd make a movie out of that. Yeah.
No. Okay, let me ask this. Would you be able to use the product in a negative way, or would the movie be sponsored by the product and you'd have to make the product be like central to the hero saving the day?
Kind of like SoulCycle with I Feel Pretty.
Oh, fuck that. I'm still so actually mad about that placement.
Yes, that could be I mean, that makes complete sense, actually.
That they has to be positive?
Yeah.
Like, so like a movie where it's central around proactive, like maybe a bad, like a horror movie where a bad batch gets out and makes people zombies.
No.
Or like, like some like, you know, Resident Evil type strain in there. Like, that would be kind of funny. Like a comedy like movie is proactive.
The realistic way I see this getting made is it being like a teen coming of age movie where it's like an ugly person. And then like they have like their be careful who you made fun of in middle school moment after they take proactive and like take their glasses off. And all of a sudden it turns out they're a 27-year-old hot actor / actress.
The best part about proactive is it had like all these components to it. But the only thing that really mattered was the fucking peroxide. Yeah, the peroxide that essentially nuked whatever you had on your face.
Uses rose water. This definitely helps you in step one of the proactive process. Like,
no.
Fucking no, it doesn't.
It's the benzol whatever that you can buy over the counter, and you're just putting bleach on your face, and your pillowcase gets all orange and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is like, that's the trademark of a good acne medication, is it makes your fucking pillows and towels orange.
Yep. Did you guys go on Accutane?
Oh, yeah. No, I never have acne bad enough for Accutane, but like we were just like, whatever, just fucking nuke it. Like it was enough like here and there. It's like, just get this shit out of here. Nuke it already. Man, that stuff.
Fuck you up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, your lips were like, it chapped your lips. You looked like, this is a really deep cut golf reference. You looked like Tom Kite, former golfer. You really chapped lips. Yeah, I really chapped you up. Yeah. All right. How about this one? P90X. P90X sounds like a movie with like Vin Diesel. I'm not just saying that because of XXX, but P90X, I feel like you could definitely make like a super soldier P90X movie with the lead guy, Tony Horton.
Tony Horton. Yeah. Yep. Have you guys done P90X?
Yep.
Yeah.
I've done, Insanity.
Oh,
I did
yeah.
Insanity stuff for a while. It worked very well.
It's fucking kicks your ass.
Yeah,
I remember the first time, like, I hit the, did you ever do, like, the stretch phase or whatever? It's like a day you just stretch. And I was like, damn, this day is going to be awesome and really fun because, like, I'm not actually doing a ton of workout. I'm just stretching. And, like, I was more sore after that than anything else because, like, it's really fucking active stretching. And also yoga, which is rough.
Every part about those things, like, the Insanity experience was very rough.
Yeah, I think a P90 is also a gun for my Call of Duty knowledge. Tells me right. So that would be
a Walther P90.
No, I think it's like the gun with like the clip that goes on top. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Really tiny.
Walther P. I'm thinking of Walther P22. Walther PPK from GoldenEye.
Oh, wait, Walther is also a German gun. I don't know. Hold on. Let me give this quick Google. But I think that just would make it a perfect action movie. Yeah, it is.
How about some other workout things? You got Thighmaster, you have the Bowflex, Total Gym with Chuck Norris, and then, of course, the Shake Weight.
Going back to the zombie apocalypse concept, I feel like all of these movies would work well in a comedic zombie apocalypse. Imagine someone crafting a huge weapon out of a Bowflex and mounting it to the top of a truck, and it just fires gigantic arrows at zombies. That'd be kind of neat.
They use like all those cables and shit and make like a mousetrap type scenario for the zombies, like just like deck out and like, or like Home Alone, just make all these traps in a mall or Bowflex factory or whatever they are.
At Sears, they have a line of Nordic track clothes. Just gonna throw that out there.
No bearing on the fucking.
No, but do you remember Nordic Track was like the original Bowflex? It was like the mail order fitness equipment of the 90s. Oh, and then okay. I think someone bought the brand, and instead of making Nordic Track equipment, they just started putting it on clothes. It's like, well, there's fucking okay.
How about the remember Tony Little's gazelle?
Yes,
the long hair. He looked like Dog the Bounty Hunter, basically.
See, I always mix up Tony Little with Tony Horton and think that Tony Little's the P90X guy.
Very different guys.
Yeah.
get some other ones here. I'm surprised there's not a Snuggy, like a really bad B-movie Snuggy horror movie where the Snuggy kills you.
So I thought of one for Snuggy. So I took a little creative liberties in the world building for this. So bear with me as I give you my plot summary. It's 1941. And a husband and wife research team are working in a top secret government facility. Their project, you ask? The Atom Bomb. The duo are working on a plutonium core. The husband insists on wearing a blanket because the temperature controlled room is quite cold. The husband needs to move the core by hand, but doesn't want to take off his blanket. His wife warns him of trying to carry the core from under the blanket, but he ignores her. While walking, he fumbles with the core and he drops it. And the last thing he remembers is his wife screaming as the core hits the ground, releasing a catastrophic amount of radiation. He wakes up in the hospital a few days later. A nurse tells him that his wife was killed by the radiation, but his blanket, which was lead, saved him. If only I had sleeves on my blanket, this would have been avoided, he says. And the nurse says, "That's true. What was your name again?" And the husband says, "Snuggy. John Snuggy." And roll credits.
What a fucking killer movie.
Do you think anybody's ever been conceived in a Snuggy?
I hope so.
Oh, there, for sure.
Are there two-person Snuggies?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
People have definitely fooled around in a Snuggie before. Can you imagine, like, getting any part of you touched by another human being's arms through a Snuggie hole?
just having your tummy tickled by the big wizard sleeve. Like,
I just want to caress your face through my red Snuggie. Two-person Snuggie.
There's a couple other ones on here. I gotta keep going.
All right.
Ooh, do you think that Grandpa Joe could have used a Snuggie?
Yes.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Their whole family. They could use a four-person Snuggie.
I don't know how they didn't die of, like, hypothermia. Like, I don't know how they survived will always be beyond me.
Sleeping under cardboard blankets. Like, they should have been dead.
For the conditions, for the lack of food, for the lack of moving, for the temperature, for where they are. I mean, and for how fucking old they are. I mean, the life expectancy back in the time that Willy Wonka was set couldn't have been that high. So it's very impressive, all things considered. I'm going to also merge like spray-on hair and the rotisserie chicken and OxyClean. I'm surprised there's no like biopic for Ron Popeil and... what's his face?
Billy
Mays.
Billy Mays. Billy
the closest we got was Joy. Joy's kind of on that. She did the Miracle Mop. That was a biopic, kind
of. Billy Mays here. Did he? He died in a weird way, right? Like coke overdose.
I think he had a heart attack.
No, I think he had a heart attack. I felt like the coke overdose was always an urban legend. I mean, maybe it could have been. Maybe it would. They did an autopsy, but I don't know. Wasn't that around the same time that Steve Irwin died too?
2009. I think Irwin was earlier than that.
Irwin was like 2006.
Hydrocodone, oxycodone, and tramadol, but they said he had major hip problems and he was scheduled for a hip replacement surgery the day after he was found dead. So obviously he had just a lot of shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are some rumors about cocaine. That's very dark. Two more. You guys know what dump cakes are? Kathy Mitchell's dump cakes?
Cannot say that, no.
You've never seen dump cakes? Basically, you put a bunch of shit into a pan, and then you dump on some sort of powder, and it just, like, makes your food. Pull it up on YouTube while we're talking about it. Ooh. Yeah. Ew. Dump cakes. Look it up. It's one of the strangest made-for-TV things.
And dump cakes like sounds old... like a site that you would have, like, told your friends to visit in 2004 just to get their reaction.
Like a fucking weird casserole. I don't get it.
It's incredibly strange. Djibouti Dubs, like a really popular YouTube site, did like a dub over for it.
Dude, I used to watch Djibouti Dubs all the time.
It was kind of good.
Yeah, the Dump Cakes Djibouti Dubs is very funny. But like, it's the strangest thing. Like, let's see, she just put some candied apples and then dumped the dump cake shit in there and then put Sprite over it. And it made this apple something or other. It's so strange to me. Like, now she's making brownies. She put, like a brownie mix. Yeah, it's a cobbler. Brownie mix, Oreos, marshmallows. There's some dump cake shit all over that. And then, boom, cake.
Yes.
Who would play Kathy Mitchell?
Kathy Mitchell?
Okay.
Kathy Mitchell will be played by somebody from Book Club. I don't know who, but somebody from Book Club. For sure.
Oh.
Last one.
Kathy Bates would be great.
Kathy
for
Bates.
Her.
Yeah. You can see that. This is my favorite infomercial of all time. The Magic Bullet. Have you ever watched the infomercial for the Magic Bullet? It is the fucking weirdest infomercial. You have this British guy behind his like kitchen counter with his American wife, and they have their just degenerate shitbag hungover neighbors over their house. There's like one guy who is a complete drunk. He's got his tie loosened up, and they're just giving him all these like random ass things from the Magic Bullet, like smoothies, nachos, chocolate mousse. And then they have this like one old lady neighbor who comes over. She's like a chain smoker. She's like Cruella De Vil. The Magic Bullet infomercial is easily my favorite infomercial. They're just making shit for their ridiculous neighbors. I'm not sure what kind of movie you can make out of that.
Do you?
Maybe it's The Purge.
Or they just watch a lot of infomercials, Jeff?
Yeah.
Like, you seem very up on the infomercials. Like, I don't watch a whole lot of infomercials.
Back in the day when I was a kid, I was, like, fascinated by them. I don't know why. And then when I see a funny one pop up on YouTube, I'll watch it. Like, that's how I figured out Dumb Cakes. But, like, I don't know. Back in the day, and I don't get much sleep, so, like, I watch a lot of TV late at night, and they turn into infomercial hours. The Magic Bullet was incredible. Trove, have you seen the Magic Bullet commercial?
I haven't seen the Magic Bullet. I'm still stuck in the Sham Wow guy Vince meme phase.
Oh, we haven't even talked about Vince from Sham Wow. I think he's too far gone to have a movie. I just saw the Magic Bullet commercial. You gotta watch the first. Yeah, watch the first like 10 seconds of Magic Bullet. You'll see the degenerate. But yeah, Slap Chop, Sham Wow. A lot of potential for Vince, who has a really fucked up history.
The best part about Sham Wow is they essentially sell these cloths now at Costco for like 60 in a pack for $13.
Yeah.
It's completely destroyed them.
Yeah. The Magic Bullet movie could be about the JFK murder. Could just totally rebrand it. Assassination. Sorry, not murder. My bad.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's an assassination is a murder.
Both not mutually exclusive.
Magic Bullet is a spinoff of Chappaquiddick.
Yeah. or a spinoff of prequel? What was the JFK movie with Costner? Was it just called JFK?
JFK. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then there was 13 Days. Was 13 Days.
Oliver Stone joint.
Yeah. Oliver Stone. I don't know how I feel about Oliver Stone.
Oliver Stone's made some stinkers.
He's made some really bad fucking movies. Oh my God. All right. Got a would you rather here. Would you rather have a person in front of you at the movie theater have his phone, his or her phone, on brightness at 100% or somebody behind you kicking your seat? And now keep in mind the phone brightness, both are continuous. So the person in front of you is like holding their phone up. The person behind you is just relentlessly kicking your seat. I dealt with this today when I saw Upgrade. Somebody, not in front of me, but like five seats down, brightness all the way up, like completely all the way up.
I feel like I could persevere through the brightness. I don't feel like I could get over someone kicking me in the back of the seat. That would make me leave the theater.
I think you have to pick phone brightness just because, you know, getting kicked and like being physically moved nonstop throughout a movie, there's just no chance I can deal with that. Plus, if someone in front of you has their phone brightness all the way up in the theater, even if it's at like 10% brightness, you can read their shit. Who knows? Maybe you see a nude. Maybe you get to see like their bank statement. Maybe you get to see something cool or of worth. There's no positive whatsoever of getting kicked.
I will say that I love to spy on other people's phones. I'm going to come out and admit it. Anytime I'm on like public transit and someone else is on their phone, I just take a quick look. I don't look that long. If it's something personal, I look away. But I just like I just love seeing people typing on their work emails, just like really mundane stuff. I never see anything weird. It's just like the sheer like everything's just mundane. There's nothing to it. It's just people responding like, hey, Gary, we'll be late for the 9:30. Like, and then you're done. I've never seen anything weird.
What's your favorite thing you've seen on somebody's phone?
I've never seen anything like worth noting, but it's just like I don't do it very often. But like I think it's human nature to kind of like someone's got it out there to kind of just like peek your eyes over and just take a quick glance. And then once you're done, just move on with your life.
I think the best thing I ever saw was a guy on this is like a few years ago on the subway. He was on like an iPhone like 6, but he was on the desktop version of Bang Bros, like watching porn on the subway.
Oh my God.
And like, first of all, why would you not use the mobile version? It's just 1,000 times more efficient. Number two, why are you watching porn in during the subway? I don't have my priorities in order there, but like, I was just very frustrated by the whole ordeal.
You see, I've never seen anything weird like that. I don't know.
I mean, he wasn't
now.
I
sound weird. Now I sound like a serial phone spyer. Look, Hoopst among us has not taken a quick glance. Like you're the person riding next to you in the subway. If they got it out there, what they're doing, just to see what this person has going on in their life.
I always try whenever I see somebody writing like a very obviously angry long text. I always try and see like I kind of want to see what this fight's about, because like every now and then you'll catch someone where it's like their bubble of text or whatever is just tremendously long, and they're just keep typing, and I'm like I need to know what's happening here. Like that's just, you're teasing me.
It's either a shopping list or a fight.
It's usually, I think every time I've seen it, it's mostly been a fight, because they'll be like, you fucking fuck. Like, it'll be in caps, and I'm like, I want to know more.
I want to do another Would You Rather? Hunger Games. I like this Would You Rather. This is a very Would You Rather up our alley. Would you rather have the Hunger Games skill of having toxic farts, so, like, you have to just fart the whole time, or toxic vomit?
I think toxic farts is the way to go, because you can be like a silent but deadly sort killer, where like you can sneak a fart. Even if someone has you at gunpoint, you can like sneak a fart out. If they see you revving up to puke on them, they're just going to kill you.
Yeah, I feel like blasting toxic air, just from my experience in playing video games, is more lethal than a projectile toxic spray or spew, because you could leave a cloud. And a few questions to follow up. What kind of access to food do I have? Or can I whistle and get old like Woody Harrelson to send me one of those like drops of like some Taco Bell?
Something to make you fart?
No, yeah. I would say that part of your, because like, you know, your skill in that movie, you get your stuff. Just, it's like, so you're equipped with what's required to have toxic farts.
You just have like,
like you can request your stuff.
In like a holster.
It's like, I want a big bowl of undercooked ground beef fried in peanut oil.
You just have like a fucking Tupperware like tucked into your fucking pocket. Wait, can you get killed by your own smoke in this?
Probably. No.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't think so.
Or do you have a gas mask?
No.
What would toxic vomit do? You'd have to get in close combat to make use, unless you make a big puddle of your toxic vomit and have someone walk into it. We're talking toxic in the sense it poisons someone, or would it be like acidic? Would it burn their foot off?
Up to you. Up to you. But the tough thing is with the toxic farts, it's tougher to aim, but I feel like you have a more widespread area to take someone down, where the vomit you can aim, but I mean, you know, it's like a stream, you know, it's a one shot deal, where the fart, you know, you can crop dust a whole area.
See, I hate vomiting so much that even in a life or death situation, I probably still wouldn't want to vomit. I'd be like, oh, I got to do this to kill this District 3 guy, but I really don't want to puke right now. I just hate the way it feels. However, I love farting. I love farting.
Yeah, and you're eating food for the fart, where for vomit, you're probably like just chugging, is it Ipepec or Ipecac? I don't know how to pronounce it. That syrup. Yeah, the syrup that makes you vomit like very quickly and a lot. I feel like that's got to be the thing you get, which that can't be fun.
But you also, if you're going to fart, you need to be like in somewhat close quarters, because I don't know if you guys know this, but gas fills the volume of its container. So if you're out in the woods, like they were in most of Hunger Games, you're kind of useless, right?
I think both are equally useless things. I think you're debating.
You're dying.
Late. Yeah. Like what if the question was like, would you rather have a toxic fart or a giant axe? I would be like, giant axe.
What if you could have one of those powers, or if every time you jerk off, one of your opponents dies?
Tough one.
Ken Jackson, the game, and like the first hour, it's just like
so they fade away like fucking Infinity War, and they have no idea what's going on.
It's like, sir, it's been 5 minutes and 13 tributes are dead.
Half the game gone in 5 minutes.
Cut off all internet to phone devices. This guy cannot kill anymore. He's still going.
The game's over, and now random citizens in the capital just start dying, and they're like, but the game, it ended.
You're just sitting there in this hollowed out tree.
Oh my god, he's painting the walls.
Lenny Kravitz character designed you this custom suit that has this cod piece that just drops down.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm telling you, this is the power I'm taking into battle.
I don't know, dude. I'd be so intimidated and scared for my life. I don't know if I could in that situation.
Just picturing like Katniss fading away like fucking Infinity War or something is so funny. One guy's just hiding out.
They do the pan of the weapons by the cornucopia. It's like axe, bow and arrow, and then just a big tub of lube.
The game designer is like, oh, we must change the game board. Send in his mom. Kendrick, where are you? You're like, oh, no, I can't do it.
They're showing all the weapons. There's just the Infinity cock ring, and it's just me like just fucking jumping, reaching out to grab it.
Play the sound of the garage door opening. It'll make him stop.
Okay, a few more. Two more. Who's the biggest asshole character in movie history? Then we'll end on a would you rather. Biggest asshole character in movie history. I'm going Uncle Frank in Home Alone. He's a complete piece of shit, from stealing salt and pepper shakers to caring more about his reading glasses than Kevin to just basically mooching off the family for free trips. Just a real piece of shit.
I forgot he stole a fucking salt and pepper shaker. What fucking useless is that?
I'm gonna go with Dennis from Jurassic Park. He was a gigantic asshole. Wayne Knight's character.
Oh yeah. Yep.
You guys picked funny bad characters. I picked
didn't
Percy.
Didn't even come close.
I'm going Percy from the Green Mile because he was an actually like, huge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was just an awful person.
We picked Slapstick. Wayne Knight's character didn't even come close to getting off that fucking island either.
Scott Pilgrim was kind of an asshole.
Yeah. But yeah.
People forget he's like an anti-hero.
Yeah, it's very true. I got to go Uncle Frank. Hans all right,
Landa.
Last one.
Hans Landa, big evil asshole.
You could just start picking all the villains at this point. The Emperor.
Yeah, I feel like you'd got to separate it into like really bad villains or just like Wayne Knight is kind of a villain in Jurassic Park, but he's like a comedic asshole because the real villain is the T-Rex / Raptors.
That's a good point.
The real villain is the hubris of man. If you want to get
facts.
Yeah.
Is that it? No more?
We'll do another hypothetical.
Yeah, we got one more. I thought you were still going on the assholes.
No, I look. Hey, I know about. Hey.
Oh my! Shit, we were gonna.
Oh, hey, we're still going on about the assholes. What did I just get home from work? I don't get no respect.
We said we'd get a pit bull question. We may have to squeeze one more in. But first up, would you rather eat a full Boston Market meal balanced on your lap? So like mac and cheese, potatoes, rotisserie, like everything, or buffalo wings with no napkins in a theater? What would you rather have? Like think about logistics for that one. And like that includes getting up and down to go pee. So you have no napkins, no access to napkins with the buffalo wings. And like they're saucy buffalo wings too, or like an entire Boston Market meal, and it's like the little Market containers.
Okay, I can manage that.
Yeah, I think Boston Market too.
I do a quarter chicken with some mac and cheese and some cream spinach and another side, maybe some cornbread.
Catch. What do you do when you go to the bathroom?
Mac and cheese.
What I eat it all before I go to the bathroom.
Okay.
I don't have to go to the bathroom that much, Jeff. It's not like I can't finish a whole fucking meal before I have to take a tinkle.
Oh, I go like three times during a movie.
I do too, but I could crush a Boston Market meal. The not having napkins for wings is a deal breaker for me. I can't do that. Real saucy wings with no napkins, I'd be a nightmare. I couldn't even enjoy the movie. The seat. Can you imagine how pissed somebody would be if you brought in a fucking rotisserie chicken to a movie?
We almost did that.
We did.
Those things smell bad. I'm going to come out and say it. Like, they taste great, but rotisserie chickens don't smell good.
They do not. That would have been rough to bring in.
There's a Boston Market really close to the theater Ken, Jack, and I go to.
Going to have to do this
may
thing?
May have to do it. May have to sneak it in, like an Ocean's 8 style like heist thing where we bring it into the theater next week.
You don't even have to do that. The fucking usher doesn't care at all.
Yeah, they don't give a shit.
I haven't lived anywhere with the Boston Market since I lived in the Chicagoland area when I was like 12.
Naperville.
It's depressing. I love Boston Market. No, I didn't live in Naperville. I lived in Crystal Lake.
Oh, it's Naperville?
Yeah, it's Naperville.
I'm not making fun. Like, I just genuinely have no idea.
Yeah, it's Naperville. I lived in Crystal Lake area.
Crystal Lake.
Chicago listeners will know what's up there.
Naperville area Cubs fan was a great brand.
Yeah, it's that's like most of my comedy comes from the fact that I've lived in like 8 different states by the time I was 15, so I know a little bit about really specific areas. It used to be called Boston Chicken, though. They changed it to Boston Market because they decided they were more than just chicken.
Their rotisserie chicken is very good. It doesn't taste like ShopRite brand rotisserie chicken.
I don't think that they're like most of the frozen meals that have names of restaurants on them, it's not like the restaurant's actually producing it. They just license out their name, but it's not up to the standards of real Boston Market food. Like, you can't just go get the Boston Market freezer
corn
cream spinach. It just doesn't hold up. It's not the same.
It's true.
The best part about the Amazon Whole Foods thing is they dropped the price of Whole Foods rotisserie chickens. I like the rotisserie chickens. Very delicious.
Nothing's better than getting a nice rotisserie chicken from a store.
Oh.
It feels triumphant to pick your rotisserie chicken and walk out with it.
I may go get one tonight.
Yeah, fuck. Honestly. Me too. I was going to go food shopping anyway. I'm just thinking about it now because they have a whole roll of them in my supermarket.
When you break down a rotisserie chicken, do you use utensils or you just do it with your hands?
I use a knife.
So I use hands, but I have to put rubber gloves on because when I come back from Whole Foods, it's still piping fucking hot and I wouldn't be able to eat it for like an hour, 2 hours. And whenever I go get it, I have to eat it. Like, I get it right before I eat it. So I have to put gloves on. Otherwise, it just singes my hands.
So what I do is I pick it up and I get a bowl of water and pour some Dawn into it. And I just dunk the rotisserie chicken in the Dawn water and just scrub it off. Get all the dirt off of it. And then I get another bowl of cold water, like ice cold water, and I dunk it into the ice cold water to clean the Dawn off of it. And then I just rip it apart with my hands.
That's a huge fucking process, my man.
If you ever visit us, you got to give us the old Trill rotisserie special.
Have you ever gotten a Walmart rotisserie chicken?
No. I didn't know they sold it.
They do. They're okay.
Wegmans.
Fucking hot food section.
Back when I went to Penn State, the Wegmans by our school sold rotisserie chickens for like $2.99.
Mm.
Absolute fucking home run. And they were great too. Complete steal.
Do you guys put anything on your rotisserie chicken? Put some A1 on it?
Yeah. Now, sometimes I'll get a little chicken gravy. I don't. It's like a little chicken gravy.
You mean a dip in, right? You mean like dip the chicken in?
Yeah, I find the rotisserie chicken by itself. I cannot eat it by itself because it's just not – I don't know. It needs
sauce. That's what I do.
Yeah. Barbecue sauce, some A1.
You eat the skin?
Ketchup. Yeah. I love the skin. I love the
skin's
skin.
Amazing.
Tastes good.
The Whole Foods one I get is very juicy, so I don't ever typically need to put anything on it.
I'm a big sauce guy. I'm like the number one sauce man. I need it on everything. I had fucking eggs earlier. I had barbecue sauce with it.
What if you walked into Walgreens and Walgreens had fucking a rotisserie chicken stand, but you looked around the Walgreens and there's no rotisserie there? Would you trust it?
Would you eat 7-Eleven rotisserie chicken?
They have 7-Eleven rotisserie chickens?
No. I'm saying, would you though? A rotisserie
have
hot
you
dog?
Ever eaten,
I would think about it.
7-Eleven food? Have you eaten 7-Eleven food? Like legit their food?
Like taquitos,
wings, burgers, pizza.
I've had taquitos, but taquitos, they just put them on the roller grill, right? Like the roller grill stuff's fine. Probably a little dirty, but.
There's a 7-Eleven by the Barstool office, and whenever I get lunch, I go in there to get a Diet Coke because all the lunch places nearby like have trendy drinks and not soda. And we're diet guys here. So I go get a Diet Coke, and there's always somebody buying like the gross wings or pizza or the burgers.
There's such a stigma of drinking soda these days. I feel like I'm shamed for drinking soda. Every time I drink a soda at like work, people are like, "Oh, soda? It's not good for you." I'm like, well, "Yeah, I know that. I know soda's not good for me."
Do you know everyone that ever breathed oxygen has died, my friend?
Yeah, it's very true. Man. Fuck the soda haters. I will save the Pitbull one for another week. We had a lot of good questions. I'm going to save all these. The last one here. It's not a question. It was a comment. Somebody said, am I the only one? Well, I guess it is a question. Am I the only one that has a desire for an M&M's movie or TV series? Gotta sure think aren't. Yes, right?
Sure aren't.
Wait, you want one too?
I would love to have like an adult movie with the green M&M. In some capacity. Dude, be sexy. The green M&M. Yeah, the green M&M.
Oh, yeah. Who's the blue M&M?
I don't even know there was a blue M&M. I always, there's like the red, the yellow, and the green.
I want the red M&M to start being a little nicer to the yellow M&M.
He's like a pinky in the brain thing.
Yeah, he's really rude to the yellow M&M, and the yellow M&M has been nothing but nice to this dude for 20 years.
And you always have to watch at AMC the commercial where they have the fake M&M movie too, which I guess is where I got it from.
The yellow M&M's like, oh, red M&M, I think you're a great guy. And the red M&M's like, I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead. You little yellow M&M bastard. Oh, come on, red M&M.
The blue M&M is almond.
Ooh, okay.
It's the almond M&M. And then the green is the mint M&M, but also something else. I'm not quite sure. The red M&M is the regular M&M and the peanut butter M&M. And then orange is pretzel. Orange is like a quivering piece of shit, like just like a nervous Nelly, just always very concerned about things.
What's the caramel M&M again? The resume laminated M&M in that commercial? He's like, I got my resume laminated. Arr.
I think it's also an orange, but it's also David Cross. David Cross plays the little caramel piece.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, so if they did an M&M movie, would they recast the M&Ms or would they keep the same voice actors?
Ooh. Oh, gotta be safe. I wouldn't watch it if they recast it.
Yeah, but you'd have to have some star power in this movie, and you'd have to actually get Eminem to play an M&M.
This would be live action, though, right? Like the Santa commercials, like they'd be alongside human actors.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you get the stars in that capacity.
You have J.K. Simmons, Academy Award winner, playing the yellow M&M. Come on.
That's true. I didn't know that. I did not know that.
I totally forgot about that shit.
Until just now?
Yeah, I didn't realize that. It makes total sense. And that's more impetus for the red M&M to stop being such a dick to JK.
All right, let's end it with favorite M&M. What's your favorite M&M and your least favorite? TVT, Triple Vodka Trio, you go.
Peanut M&M is my favorite M&M. And my least favorite, I don't like the pretzel M&Ms. I just don't like them all that much.
I don't either.
It's they don't weird. Have the right I consistency.
I agree, and it's weird because I like chocolate-covered pretzels a lot, but something about pretzel M&Ms just rubs me the wrong way.
You don't get the crunch. Like pretzel.
You don't get the crunch. It's like you bite into it, and it's like this little impotent little like, shht, like not
it's
a crunch.
It's very similar to the crispy M&M. Like, I think they're very, very similar.
This is tough.
What are yours, Jack? Favorite, least favorite?
I think my least favorite were the coconut ones. I don't know if you ever had those. Coconut
yes,
or the...
I don't like
or pumpkin spice. Those are both very bad.
I didn't mind the coconut ones.
I think I like dark chocolate the most. I could like house those.
The dark chocolate's good. The mega M&Ms are sneaky the best M&Ms to get. The mega peanut M&Ms, amazing, because there's more chocolate. It's more chocolate and the same size peanut. Fantastic. I like the mint M&Ms, but you guys don't like mint. My least favorite, I don't like the caramel M&M at all. I just not for me. Disappointing.
Yeah, I like the regular M&M and I like the peanut M&M. I'm a traditionalist in this sense.
Do you like peanut butter?
No, I don't. I don't like the mini M&Ms. Mini M&Ms can go hike.
Yeah, kick rocks fucking mini M&Ms. And that little like tube stack container they come in that you get for like Christmas and then everyone thinks they're doing you a huge favor. Like, no, give me a regular package of M&Ms.
Yeah, they come in that little tube, but they come in like a big candy cane with like the clear... opening
pod container.
This might be a complete lie, but I feel like there's two guys in the office, Carabas and Mikey Podcasts. They love peanut butter M&Ms. I've got them on their desk. That could be a lie. It could have been just one time. I know those guys fucking love peanut butter M&Ms.
I don't know if I hate peanut butter M&Ms, but if I'm eating M&Ms, it's going to be peanut M&Ms. If I'm at the convenience store and I'm saying I'm going to invest in some M&Ms today, it's going to be the yellow package.
It feels like a double snack. You get the chocolate and you get a peanut. It's like, it's a very simpleton rewarding chocolate. Also, the mini M&Ms, the thing I love about them is if you go to Pinkberry, they're called like mini chocolate gems. They just can't call them M&Ms. I've always found that surprising that they can't secure the bag. Yeah, chocolate discs. That's it. That's Lights, Camera, Barstool, Lights, Camera, Pod, depending on what you want to call it in your own universe. See Rideshare, the movie on Amazon Prime. That's really all I got here.
I got to say, having two beers is a bad idea, because that's the right amount of beers to want to go to sleep.
Mm. Well,
especially IPAs. That's like sleep fuel.
Whew. Yeah,
I'm feeling very tired. It's good this podcast is ending. I'm going to take care of my child.
Rate all the 2018 movies in the description below. See Rideshare, the movie. It's online, Amazon Prime. No excuse not to see it. For Ken Jack and Trill Ballins, I'm Jeff Lowe. We'll talk to you on Thursday morning.
Back in time.
Black mask, black gloves with a little bit of rope to tie. I flipped it, black suits, white shirts, black glasses with a matching tan. Like Agent J or Agent K, and I wish the whole world would. Okay, I'm trying to make a billion out of 15 cents. Understand, understood, I'm a go-getter, mover, shaker, culture. Bury a border, record breaker, won't you? Give credit where credit is due, don't you? Know that I don't give a number two. Y'all just halfway thoughts, not worth the back of my mind. But to understand the future, we have to go back in time. They can try if they want to. What pit saw's a bit raw. Took like jigsaw and built it all. Despite a big loss, I bet it all. And fought blind against the world, Ray Charles. Y'all just halfway thoughts. Not worth the back of my mind. But to understand the future, we have to go back in time.